Welcome to episode 1164 of the Geek News Central podcast. It is Thursday, December 8th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can always support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or just PayPal.me/Geek News. You can pick up your Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana Store. Tonight, got a great lineup for you. Lots to talk about, but some of the top stories are going to include the passing of a true American hero, John Glenn. We're going to be talking about the unlocking of the brain. I've got an Amazon store update. Also can tell you how to get banned from Uber. Not that anybody would. And also we're going to be talking about the Bots Act and a lot more on the show tonight. Hey, I want to welcome all of our new listeners to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I want you to visit geeknewscentral.com and take some time. Look over the site. When you're there, though, we want you to subscribe to the show. That is the most important action you can do as a new listener, is get subscribed, and we give you plenty of opportunities to do that. You're going to see right on the website at geeknewscentral.com, right on the right-hand column of the website, you're going to see an opportunity to, if you're, doesn't matter if you're Apple or Android user, I guess iOS or Android user, you can subscribe via iTunes or via Android. If you don't have a podcast app, we're going to help you get one. If you want to go old school, you can get the show announcement by email, or you can go over in Google Play if that's your style, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can even use the original one and only RSS feed that got this whole podcasting thing kicked off. And you don't know what I'm talking about, go to more subscribe options, and we'll help you out there with some instructions. On the webpage already is a place to link for the newsletter. If you get signed up for the newsletter, I'm not going to spam you. I'm not going to be sending you a bunch of stupid stuff. All you're going to get is a email with the show announcement with all the links I'm going to talk about during today. So that way you'll have it for basically forever, as long as you don't delete it. And here's what's important. I find the latest and hottest for you. And then you're going to be 2 weeks from now, you're going to be like, man, Todd talked about that. Instead of having to go search the website, you just go to the email, you search for my email address, and bam, you're going to have it. You're going to have that link to that article that I talked about during the show today. So definitely want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and hook that up. And make sure you visit Geek News Central Daily. The writing team over there is cranked up. We've got lots of content coming. Of course, the Consumer Electronics Show is about to launch. I guess we're supposed to just call it CES now. CES is about ready to kick off. And, man, the time is moving fast. Less a month from today, I will have already walked about 300 miles. At least that's what it will feel like when I get to the hotel at 10 o'clock at night. So lots of coverage coming from that event. So stay tuned on the website as well. Hey, if you got comments on today's show, you can email directly here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, you can join our Slack channel by sending an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Say, hey, I want to be part of the Slack channel. You can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. Of course, you can watch the show on the Roku, Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or listen on blueberry.com. I want to thank our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with the actual professor, Mr. Don Bain. And, of course, check our Pro Gear site out, too, with the being populated by my writing team. This show is sponsored by our longest-running continuous sponsor of any podcast known to man, and that's GoDaddy.com. And here's what I need you to do. I've had to make some changes to my GoDaddy page, specifically the metadata in my GoDaddy page. And so that has impacted my search results just a little bit in Google. We're still listed, but there's something weird going on. And if you can link to my page from your site, from Facebook, from Twitter, wherever it may be, you're going to help me stay king of the hill. Just so that people can find codes when they need them. And most importantly, as you're sending people to grab codes, you know where to send them at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And share the codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. That will help out a great, great deal. And of course, we want you to see all the offers. All the offers going on right now are really tremendous. And they continue to be, as always. 30% off on new product purchases. 99cent.com. We've got economy hosting, $1 a month for the first 12 months and a free domain. We got $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year again with a free domain. So 12 bucks gets you a managed WordPress site, a domain name, and the start of something that could be absolutely wonderful. A podcast, could be a blog, could be something you put together for your hunting where you just have pictures. Could be a private, you can make the site private and just have a place to reflect and write notes to your kids or who knows, write your memoirs. You can use it for whatever you want, but get online today. And of course, if you're a business owner, check out that GoDaddy website builder as well. But all my codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We appreciate your ongoing support of the show and sharing the codes with the friends, family members, people that you know. And we've been talking about this now, really, you know, sharing the GoDaddy experience for, my gosh, since 2005. So you can help us out here by keeping the ball rolling, as one would say. But anyway, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. We definitely appreciate them continue to be on board and supporting us financially with by the products and purchases that everyone makes from this audience. Okay, just want to take a few minutes. I've been putting a bunch of stuff on Facebook. I don't know what it's like today. I had like record postings. It just was the day, I guess. But I just want to start out and talk about the MacBook Pro just a little bit here before we get into the full stack. And I got some other stuff to talk to you all about too. But I had walked by a display 4 or 5 times in different stores, had not taken the time because it was always like 5 deep. And this afternoon, I got a chance. I was waiting for my son to finish up school, picking him up. And I was in a store, and they had a MacBook Pro sitting there with, you know, the new touch bar or whatever they're calling that stupid thing. And, you know, as I picked it up, it's beautifully designed. Screen looks incredible. And then I touched the keyboard. Wow. I mean, I was like, is this real? Is this what the best they could do? If I use that keyboard, and I basically loaded up a browser and I, you know, started loading websites and different things. And I found myself double hitting keys, missing keys, because there's hardly any haptic response. When you touch it, it's just like, it's like, if you brush against it, it will put a letter up. And I thought, what have they done? Now, on my 17-inch MacBook Pro that I'm still using, it's running right now. It's got things up for the chat room and stuff. I'm watching over here on the side. And hi, Rita. Hi, Brad. Hi, Paul. So, you know, this MacBook's old. You know, it's not old. It's a 17-inch, it was a 2.3 gigahertz, 8 gigs of RAM, and this was an early 2011 model, so we're coming up on 6 years on this thing. It's still working good. I put an SSD in it, gave it a new life. It's, you know, it's not doing bad. The keyboard on that MacBook is perfect. Perfect. Can't get any better than that. But this new keyboard on this new Mac Pro, I'm just going to tell you, two thumbs down. That in alone for me was a deal killer. And you guys know I've been talking about this. I'm due and been shopping. But I went with an open mind. I can handle the touch bar thing. You know, they were the sales lady was showing me. It was all good. And so other than that, it was, I'm not impressed. They've lost their way over there. They really, really have. Now, I talked about it in the last show or last couple of shows. You guys know I got the iPhone 7. Matter of fact, we got some email from a listener that talked about this. So, and I'll be reading that at the end of the show. So far, in what I did, and I think I talked about it in the last show, is I just bought a couple of these dongles for the headphone to, you know, the Thunderbolt port or whatever they call this thing now. I bought a couple of these and I've got them on, like in my car, I've got a headset with a mic, and it's wired, and I'm good. I'm still good. The battery on this thing's good enough that so far I'm not running into trouble. So, but I did buy the, you know, the double charger dongle, or, you know, where I can run the headset. I got to move it away from the mic because it's making it noisy. And, I told you guys on the last show that whatever the show was, I talked about the iPhone 7. And, you know, the reason I was going to hold off. The iPhone 6 I had was good, but the team, we did a refresh at Raw Voice, and Raw Voice buys my phone. So, you know, I could have waited another year, but they're not bringing the headphone back anytime soon. And I really didn't want to make the jump to Android. So, yeah, I'm happy with the iPhone 7. And it's speedier and everything else. It's, you know, so, you know, other than the headphone thing, which I was wanking about a lot, you know, I'm good. But, gosh, you know, still today, the best keyboard that I have used on a lap to date is a Dell XPS 13. Fantastic keyboard. I mean, they really hit it out of the ballpark. And so, you know, I'm picky. You know, you guys know, I've talked about on this show that I've bought like three, you know, the keyboard that I have on my desktop, I've got like three in reserve because I love the keyboard so much. It's on my desktop. I want to make sure that when this one gets full of crud and dies, then I've got another one to put down and use for another 3 or 4 years. Right. You know, and so, you know, a person has to have standards, right? But that's it. I'm sickened by what has happened with the MacBook Pro. Apple's loss. Well, anyway, moving on from there, I tried to do some flying, but it's been raining here. I mean, it's crazy. I haven't been able to take my Mavic out and fly it, and don't want to get it wet. And I had it in the car and running around, and I went over the scenic thing because I thought I was going to get a break today, and it didn't. So. No flying this week. It's been raining all week. I'm hoping for tomorrow. I've got some stuff I want to put up on the new vlog, so on YouTube. But I guess it's not going to happen until the weather gets better. Hey, do want to let you know that I'm going to be updating the offers page on Geek News Central. We're going to be adding some stuff to it. We'll be talking about more about that as time moves on here. But I'll be making some announcements there. But I did pick up a couple products that I got in hand. I got suckered in. Via an online advertisement. It would look beautiful. The product looked beautiful. And I'm not saying it's bad yet, but I've run into all kinds of problems. I bought some products from a company called Alpine Labs, and I talked about it and that I was going to talk about them tonight. The two items I bought was, one was the Pulse. And the Pulse is pretty simple. For those of you that are watching, it's just a little device like this. It's got a shoe on it, but the shoe's dead. It's really just to mount it to the camera. And then it comes with a connector to basically go from the Pulse to input on the on my ADD. So as soon as I plugged it in, got it all charged up, I think I'm going to be good. I got the app set up, plugged it in, and the ADD said, hey, you're hooked up to a computer. And I worked and I worked and I worked on it, and it went and ever connected, just showed a computer mark on the ADD, thought it was hooked to a computer. So sent my first ticket to Alpine Labs saying, hey, something's wrong here. They did respond within 24 hours and said, update the firmware and give it a try then. So I'm going to be updating the firmware on it. I'll let you know how this goes. Right out of the box, brand new, did not work. And then the second item that they sent me and that I bought was called the Micron. And again, by Alpine Lines Micron. And this is what this is set up to do. It's a very simple little, another type of deal. It's got a little shoe, a couple of cables. One hooks to your cell phone. And you basically program it to do time delay pictures with your DSLR. Now, the ADD, I found out now. An instructional video. It has its own time delay type of function, so I think I can program it right on the camera. I may not have needed this, but this was relatively inexpensive. But this piece was all good, hooked up to my cell phone, was fine, but the cable they sent for the ADD came with a connector that doesn't work for my camera. So I sent them another support ticket, and they said, send me a picture. So I sent them a picture. And we'll see if they figure out which a cable adapter I need, and they'll send that out. So far, two strikes on Alpine Labs. I'll let you know if we get it squared away and get fixed up. But yeah, I was kind of disappointed on these two products. And you know, you go to Alpine Labs website, they show you this most impressive. And I got sucked in. I'm stupid. They have this very impressive demo, and they show you how, you know, it's just okay. Put the hook in my mouth. So anyway, that's that. So I really don't have anything else in my short stack to talk to you guys tonight about, but that's kind of what's been going on here. Been busy. Trying to, you know, we talked about CES a little bit, and I know I had a couple of people on the show indicate that they may want to come in and help for CES. And I've been working with Don, the Gadget Professor. One of his guys he knows said he may want to come to the show, and he's close. He's right in Phoenix. And so, you know, basically I'm trying to keep costs down, folks. I know some of you from the East Coast wanted to come, but trying to keep the cost down. And so I may still be in the hunt for camera person. So this is not, if you know, this is hard work, very hard work. And and if you're interested, drop me an email. I need to know immediately if you still want to come, if someone still wants to come out for the show and be my camera guy. But I need to know, like, within the next, you know, really 48 to 72 hours in order to get credentials set up and then hotel bookings and all that stuff. So drop me an email if you're still interested, and I'll let you know. Otherwise, I'm looking for somebody in Vegas. It'll work out one way or the other. I'm not stressing it. We're not doing it live this year, so it's all good. Okay, that's it. Let me go ahead and get in the stack of stuff. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for indulging me to talk a little bit tonight about some of the stuff going on. Those of you that are online, thank you so much for being here. And Paul, I hope I was able to share with you. Oh, you want to know about the Osmo Mobile? The Osmo Mobile is huge. Huge. It's almost too big. There needs to be something on the website on the Osmo Mobile that shows you the dimensions of this thing. It's massive. You know, I've got a regular Osmo with a 4K camera on already. And be honest with you, I'll be using that on this next trip for CES versus the Osmo Mobile. It's just too big. The case it comes in, I'm not kidding, is like this big. It's huge. It's, well, for those of you not watching, it's like 12, 13, 14, 15 inches when it's in basically in its stow position. You know, it shrinks a little bit when everything ties up, but it doesn't come in a nice little compact case like the other Osmo does with the camera already mounted on it. So that is my, you know, so maybe two bad purchases this year. So anyway, that's it. All right, let's go ahead and get in the stack. And the first thing I have right on the list here is the sad news, of course, of the late Senator John Glenn. And, you know, he was one of the original seven from the Mercury program. First United States astronaut to do a full orbit. I think he did more than one, didn't he? But, you know, I've read a lot of books over the years. Chuck Yeager's book, where he broke the sound barrier. And I've read a bunch of books about the Mercury 7. And the history of these guys. And let's be frank. In the early 60s, my mom spent a lot of time in the Cape. My uncle, retired colonel, was heavily involved. He's also passed away, but he was heavily involved in the early days of doing space shots, because a lot of the stuff that was being done at NASA and perfecting rockets and making sure they didn't blow up on the pad and they made it to orbit, and they're still, you know, many companies are still trying to make sure that happens, was that a lot of it was tied to nuclear delivery vehicles too. Science that was going on, NASA was being traded back and forth with the ICBM program and everything else. So my uncle that was in the Air Force, he was heavily involved down in the Cape and all these shots and stuff. And, you know, in the early days, you, I mean, many of you probably have seen it. They were, you know, they would, they'd set to launch one of these bad boys. And and you know, these rockets would just blow up on the pad. And, you know, they didn't make orbit. They just went boom, or they, you know, got 20 feet off the ground and sputter and returned to Earth in a massive explosion. So when John Glenn strapped on that rocket on February 20th, 1962, he was really, at that point, he was along for the ride. You know, he, big set of, you know what, to take that bad boy to orbit. And the bravery and the high potential that he probably knew this thing could go boom, and just the simple fact that he is willing to crawl in that rocket and strap it on and ride it to orbit and bring it back, you know, that takes a lot of guts. And these guys were rock stars back in the '60s, you know. And when it came to astronauts, it was like they were the equivalent of the Kardashians today. You know, they were celebrity number one. But you know, this man had a distinguished career before becoming an astronaut in the military, and then he obviously became a senator of Ohio and served many years. So he is the last of the Mercury 7. He is the last one. They are all gone. And the world is not a better place today, but Godspeed to John Glenn, and may he rest in peace. And so, you know, for my generation, and again, I was just a baby when this first launch happened, I was still a dream or not even a consideration, I guess, to my mom. But, so anyway, it's, you know, this is at least for my generation, we grew up with, you know, these names being household names and the things they did. So, you know, to my kids, I was talking about it with my son at the dinner table tonight and, kind of talking about the same exact things I'm talking with you. And he's like, wow, really? 'Cause, you know, for them and for, you know, for my 12-year-old, you know, the space shuttle and all that stuff becomes second nature. And obviously he was old enough to remember, you know, one of the space shuttle accidents and knew about that from school. And you may be not very old at the time, but, you know, going back in the 60s and talking about something, you know, that's distant history. But, you know, we lost a good one today, folks. We really did. And, but he lived a full life, 95 years old. I think all of us can appreciate the actual, you know, just to get to 95, you know, I'm working on making it to 70. Okay. So, but, 95, very long life. Okay. Let me head in. One thing I had to laugh today. We're going from sad to not laugh, but ironic. There was a announcement made that Pantone is the color of the year. And if you're a designer, it's a RGB 136, 176, 75. And what's kind of ironic here is the Pantone color was the original Geek News Central website color. And today the colors have shifted. But in the early days, when we first launched Geek News Central, we were Pantone. The color of the site was Pantone. And those of you that remember that will laugh, because that, you know, that color was the color of the website. And really nothing of that color kind of exists on the new design. We've updated the palette, of course. But I'm thinking, man, we were 12 or 13 years ahead of our time on that color. But Pantone being announced the color of the year. So very, very, very cool. Also, one thing I want to talk about tonight today, you know, car stealing has changed. You know, the day of the guy coming up and putting a jimmy down the window and, you know, hooking the lock and then opening the car up and, you know, busting out the key and, you know, sticking a screwdriver in. Those days are gone. The National Insurance Crime Bureau has gotten hold of a mystery device that they have seen in videos on security cameras of, as crooks have stolen cars. Now, the organization says that it obtained this through an outside security expert who purchased it overseas, and it is described as a relay attack unit that was originally designed for manufacturers to test the security of their wireless systems. But it and others like it have made their way into criminals' hands, and handmade versions have also been discovered. And really, all it is just a little box, and it's got a sniffer in it. So as you're walking through the parking lot with your key fob in your pocket, it pings your key fob, copies the code, and then very simply, when you go into the mall or wherever you're going, the crook walks up and unlocks your vehicle. And off they go. And it's able to even give the signal the car needs, because the car fob, most of our cars today, the car fob acts as the authorizing agent to allow you to start your vehicle. It's basically two devices working together. It intercepts a signal from a nearby proximity key fob, and then it's used to unlock and start the vehicle. So this is what crooks are using. They don't even have, people don't even know they're stealing the car, because they just walk up, click goes the door, they jump in, boom, starts up, your alarm doesn't go off. And, the next thing you know, your vehicle's on the chop block and it's gone. Now, here's the crazy part. All right, so who's affected? What vehicles are affected? The NCIB tested with approval in several situations that included car dealerships, a car auction, and on its own employees and vehicle. It tried it on 35 different vehicles from a variety of brands and was able to open 19 of the 35, start and drive away in 18 of those. After the ignitions were turned off, the device was able to restart 12 of the 18 cars. Now, it didn't provide a detailed list of makes and models that were affected by the device, but did point out that four 2017 Chevy models were immune. So, you know, oftentimes what will happen now is insurance companies get funny. You know, insurance companies are like, what do you mean? How come, you know, there was no glass, there was no evidence that the car's maybe joyriding and maybe the inside is stripped, stuff is stole from the inside of the car, or they leave the vehicle. And the insurance companies are like questioning people now whether or not they left the vehicle unlocked or left a key fob in the vehicle and people drove away. So it just goes to show you here that thieves don't need a jimmy and a tool to pop out the ignition. Some kid with enough resources, financial resources, can get one of these and, you know, it steals cars easy. So what are we going to have to do? Are we going to have to start wrapping our key fobs in aluminum foil now, or have some sort of RFD, some sort of, cage to put our key fobs in when they're in our pocket to keep them from being read? So this is huge. You know, they could really, really clean up here. And there's a video on this. I'll let you guys see it. But it's pretty amazing. They just, and it's about, you know, what you can hold in your hand from that's how big the device is. It's not big at all. So I think we kind of knew some of this was going on, but this is coming from overseas, and this thing was designed to test vehicles to begin with. Just incredible. Really, really is. So, you know, maybe the next car you get, you say, I just want a key for the door. I just want a key for the door. I don't need any, you know, convenient to reach up and touch the unlock button. And it just also reminds us, too, how many of you in your cars today have programmed the garage door opener? how many of you have a garage door opener in your vehicle? Well, here's what I've done. My garage door opener in my house is unplugged. You're not getting the garage door open at my place. Matter of fact, we've even added some additional security on the garage door, and someone that's getting through there is going to have to use a chainsaw and cut a hole through, all right? So, but if you have a remote control in your, basically in your car, and you get to your house and you hit the button and your garage door opens up and you don't have a security system in your house, not only do they not need a car to get in your car, they don't need a key to get in your house. So it's important too, for those of you that have an most of us have an interconnecting door in our garage. How many of you are locking that? I do that every day. I lock the door that is from my garage into my house. That door is locked. And actually that door, in addition to the windows in the garage, also has an alarm sensor on it. So, I've got multiple layers into the house are covered. So, it's a little bit overkill, but, I just make sure that I'm going to know if someone has broken in here. So, if you don't have, if you don't lock your garage door, they're going to walk in your place. They own you. They're going to clean you out. So don't program that garage door opener in your vehicles. We've talked about this many times in the show over the years. I know it's a pain, but if you have to, put the garage door opener, you can buy little fobs that attach to your keychain that will act as a remote for your garage. So you take that with you, okay, if you really want that convenience. Or install a system where you can walk up to your garage and you can open the lid and you put in a key punch number and the garage door will open by that. You do that to activate your garage. You don't do, don't use that automated system in your vehicle. Let's talk about the, this next article is interesting in that some scientists, many scientists have been attempting to reverse engineer the brain. They've been trying to figure out how does what is in our head work? How does it work? And, they've got a pretty good idea. They know what different lobes do. And, there's that information. They've got that kind of mapped out. But there's a new study out from some scientists at the Augusta University in Georgia, led by Dr. Joe Tyson, that they think they may be on the answer that could send shockwaves through the field of neuroscience and likely lead to the dawn of a new age for artificial intelligence as well. And they go into talking about how they've been able to cause mice that they blindfolded to be able to reprogram them to use the part of their brain that was used for sight to be able to essentially make adjustments. And they think at this point that if this crosses over into humans, and some of the stuff that they have figured out is that they have been able to figure out what's called the theory of connectivity and figure out the logarithm that basically I think we all kind of expected it anyway. We're a bunch of ones and zeros. And they've been able to come up with a neurological, or what they're called, a neuronal click by a group of neutrons which fire together and cluster into functional connectivity, essentially modules to do different things that makes us keep ticking. And they say one can liken it to the branch of a tree. But in a recent paper, they've been able to test and be able to come up with some pretty interesting theories that have not been forwarded into, that has not made it into the science community. And obviously, it's going to be a long way before they can, we hook up the matrix and we get downloaded, right? Or uploaded. I like the idea of being downloaded before I go, but, upload a program into us that they think this information they've come out can be applied across into artificial intelligence to, that's what they're trying to do with AIs. They're trying to recreate that gray matter up there. So exciting stuff. But anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Amazon said there's no plans to open 2,000 stores. And I kind of like, really? Why do you go to all this trouble? Amazon says they would not like us to get all carried away in envisioning plans for futuristic cashier-free grocery stores. Well, please, 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 I want that. Come on. Now, if that means selling tech to, you know, the local grocery store, Safeway, and all that stuff, right on. Let's make it happen. But they said, we have no plans to open 2,000 of anything, the Amazon spokesperson said. Not even close. We're still learning. Now, they really didn't say they weren't. That just makes it obvious that they're not ready. And I think it leaves the doors open to possibility. So we will see where this goes. But yeah, they're, again, getting smarter and about to eliminate some more jobs. Oh, man. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for y'all to check out. I know some of you are Pebble fans. I know that you're very disappointed with Fitbit buying Pebble. I can understand your concern. You know, many of you kickstarted them into existence and you know, you've stuck with them through thick and thin. And they're shuttering Pebble. And they're discontinuing smartwatches. And basically Fitbit is just, you know, acquiring the people into the company. But, you know, what it really means here is, and again, I'm not a big Fitbit fan. You know, I had a couple of them. And, you know, at least the early models that I had were, you know, pretty useless. And once you get an Apple Watch, then, you know, it does everything that a Fitbit would do. But the Pebble was just, you know, pretty simple, but yet effective. So, yeah, Pebble's pow, as they say here in Hawaii, pow means finished. And so those of you that were fans of Pebble, sorry, they're done. It goes down the annals of history. So if you have a Pebble, like I have sitting here that's not charged, you know, they're probably going to become collector's items at some point or, you know, round fodder, who knows? All right, we've talked a little bit about over the years about companies having, you know, all these billions and trillions of dollars offshore, most of that money in Ireland. We've also talked about how potentially the new administration is going to allow some of that money to be repatriated by lowering the fee to allow it to come back into the country. But there was an interesting disclosure today. And this is something make many of you probably had no clue. And I had absolutely no clue. And I think this will come as a surprise to many of you. Did you know that Apple's received at least $6 per American taxpayer over the past 5 years in the form of interest payments on billions of dollars worth of United States Treasury bonds? Citing Apple's regulatory filings and unnamed sources, the business publication found the Treasury Department paid Apple at least $600 million and possibly much, much more over the past 5 years in the form of interest by taking advantage of a provision, and this is just insane, a provision of the American tax code. So what's happening is that they, okay, so the money that they're stashing in Ireland, they're using that to buy American treasury bonds, and somehow through the tax laws of the United States, that shelters that money even more from what taxes they may have had to pay for it off. I don't fully understand the process, but there's like a couple of loopholes allowing the rich to get richer. And, you know, they've talked previously that Apple pays an effective 2.3% tax rate on overseas profits by using various legal tax shenanigans. And they're not the only one. There's a bunch that do this. So it's not just Apple. Just Apple's the biggest. But here's something that's going to blow you away. So you think about U.S. debt and who holds the holds debt in America. China obviously is huge, right? Some European countries. Who do you think is the number four biggest debt holder of American treasury bonds? Ireland, a country of 5 million people, Ireland holds the fourth largest amount of debt through treasury bonds. I was shocked. And what it is, it's because all these U.S. corporations who are sheltering or have money over there, they are buying up U.S. treasury bonds because it, again, provides some sort of tax relief. And I'm not a tax guy, but when I read through the several articles I read on this, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And so basically, the U.S. government is borrowing offshore money in which no tax was paid to the U.S. So the U.S. government is ending up paying interest on borrowing money in which it theoretically has a 35% ownership interest in to begin with. And the analogy was, is that you borrow a bike that you already own and you pay for it. So Ireland and the money that's sitting over there holds the fourth largest amount of U.S. Treasury bonds. And it's Apple and Microsoft and GM and everyone else that's got that money overseas. I bet you didn't know that, did you? I didn't. So maybe that money can be repatriated. Maybe there's no money to repatriate. Maybe it's all in treasury bonds. They were all paying interest on that there was no tax paid on. Ain't that some, isn't that interesting? If you really think about it. Oh, man. I'm going to tell you, it's so screwed up, isn't it? Oh, something's got to change. So we'll see. We'll see if they close these loopholes, you know? It's doubtful, but it's amazing. There's an app. If you get your iPhone 7 soaked, you know, the iPhone 7 is supposed to be waterproof. I'm not sticking mine in a glass of water. Up to 30 feet or something like that for 3 hours, or 3 feet for 3 hours, or, you know, there's some weird, you know, it's 30 minutes for 3 feet. Okay, so don't sue me. But people are finding, of course, when they take the phone out of the water that the speakers are not sounding so good. Someone created an app to vibrate the speakers 165 hertz, which helps displace the water. So if you're swimming with your phone, that might be a potential thing to use. We're all getting fatter, me included. Matter of fact, I was looking into, they have a, close to where I live here, there's a, it's called the Croc Center. And they have a gym, and it's a family rate, pay $100, five people, $100 a month, and it's relatively close. And so I've been talking about maybe getting a gym membership, because if, you know, if I don't get on doing something, it's not going to be good as I move forward. So it goes into this article about life expectancy. And for the first time since 1993, the life expectancy of Americans declined. So we only lost a decimal point one in life expectancy, average of 78.8 as of 2015, compared to 78.9. So just be careful out there, okay? All right. Okay, here's how to get banned from Uber. And these, you've seen these before. Be disrespectful to the driver. Don't be on time. When you get into the car, make sure that you leave a mess with the food that you're eating. And if you have passengers, make sure you don't give them any space. And when you get in the vehicle, make sure you have an open container of alcohol. You know, don't buckle up. Those are all tips if you want to get banned from Uber. So, yes, be respectful, be on time, care for the car, give people space, and follow local laws. And you can remain a five-star rider. And so you don't run the risk of not being able to be picked up. If you're going to ride Uber drunk, just keep your mouth shut. Get in the car, be quiet, take a nap to your ride. don't be belligerent, because that gets you a one star. And don't puke in an Uber car, for sure. All right, Congress has passed something I think is pretty cool. You know, have you ever tried to buy a concert ticket? They go on sale, you know, like here in Hawaii, we have a couple of venues And they always say, okay, 9 a.m. they go on sale. You go on site at 9 a.m. and they're sold out. You can't get a ticket. Or if you do, it's the nosebleed seats. And you're like, so you don't even try. You know, and then all of a sudden you see all these tickets on sale on Craigslist and, you know, all these places are selling these tickets that you couldn't get. Well, it's basically being bought out by software bots or buying concert tickets. So that's soon going to be illegal. And I don't know how they're going to enforce this, but a bill passed by Congress yesterday called the Better Online Ticket Sales Act makes it illegal to bypass any computer security system designed to limit ticket sales to concerts, Broadway musicals, and other public events with a capacity of more than 200 people. Violations will be treated as unfair or deceptive acts and can be prosecuted by the FTC. So, you know, maybe the average person now can get a ticket to a concert or to an event and not have to use buy tickets through a scalper who's, you know, up the price than from what box office was. So this is fantastic. So the bots, B-O-T-S, bots are banned. And we'll see if the president signs this. But I think this is a good one. I really, really do. But I don't know how they're going to enforce it. I really, really don't. Those folks are not going to let their gravy train be given up. They're really not. I should have covered this with the Uber story a few minutes ago, but Uber's been going through some, you know, basically Uber cars are really not designed to pick people up with wheelchairs and people that have disabilities. It's really kind of, you know, and not all taxis are either. And there's very, very few taxis that are actually set up to handle disabled. There's some. I've actually rode in one or two over, you know, many, many years. But there's a law that certain types of vehicles have to be outfitted to be able to transport disabled folks. And Uber has been buying these high-end SUVs to be able to, you know, test and be able to implement these self-driving vehicles where you just get in the car, there's no driver, and it takes you to your destination. So there's an op-ed in Wired that's talking about this. And even though Uber has the ability to sidestep this and be able to get around some of these rules, which I don't think are fair, these accessibility laws are there for a reason. We here in Hawaii, we've got the handy van. People can disabled people can call it. It's run by the bus system. They come pick them up. But you know, it's not, you have to schedule. It's not like it's super convenient. But what if Uber embraced and was actually designed from the get-go with these self-driving vehicles to move disabled people? They would immediately be king. They would immediately take over the marketplace because disabled people are at the bane of availability of transportation services now. And if they actually become a pro disabled and set up these vehicles, these self-driving vehicles, once they're approved to pick up people that are, you know, covered by ADA, every disabled person would use them because it's convenient. You get car on demand. Car comes to your door, picks you up, you know, fully wheelchair, you know, accessible the whole nine yards. So, you know, I hope Uber embraces this. Time will tell. It's expensive, I know, to implement that, but they would be king. They would be king in transportation, and they'd be a good steward of the community if they did this. This would go a long way to help their image in communities where the taxi cab associations are just pummeling them. Here in Hawaii, it's an ongoing battle. But all of a sudden, you got ADA Uber vehicles, and it gives people with disabilities freedom to get around. That's fantastic. It'd be the way to go. So, different way to think about things. We'll see what Uber does. SpaceX has lost a major contract as launch schedule has slipped. Inmarsat has basically said, you know, you've jerked us around with blowing stuff up on the pad too much. We're moving a launch to Ariane Space with the European Space Launch group, and we're going to launch our next satellites with them. So Arian Space stole some business. So SpaceX better get their act together. You know, they're pushing, but they need to make their vehicle absolutely reliable. If you look at Arian Space, they have had 89 total launches in its operational lifetime. And, you know, I don't think they've had a one go blow up on the pad. So they, you know, they've stuck with a, you know, it's got a reliable lift system. We know that SpaceX is trying to push the envelope here, but they just got to get this reliability down in a big, big way. All right. I'm expecting that when I get to Vegas around CES, that there will be some pop-up Snapchat spectacle kiosks that are probably going to pop up. You got all these geeks. They're going to be in Vegas. I'm not a big Snapchat dude. You know, I've got an account, but I can't tell you the last time that I logged into it. But do you, what do you guys think? Should I try to, if I get a chance when I'm in Vegas, if one of these pop up, should I try to score one? It's really hard. They're so limited. It's like they have a little vending machine they roll on. It's got like, you know, 50 pairs of glasses for $120. You know, and then this is what, you know, this is why they're getting so much press is because, and that's why it's, you know, the hottest thing going right now because it's very limited. I don't know. I saw Scoble. He had some, and it's, you know, I guess if you should use the Snap, you know, if nothing else, I'd get buy one and then eBay it to see what someone's willing to pay. Yeah, maybe pay for part of my trip to Vegas. Who knows? That might be the idea. All right, NASA has released their giphy.com/NASA. They've got 462 gifts. So those of you that are always looking for a gift to put on a post, I would assume that these are probably okay to utilize because, you know, it's government public domain. So these are all up on the Giphy site and a variety of different you know, animations that you can score. So anyway, Giphy, giphy.com/NASA is where you can go find it. Pretty cool stuff. And so that was released today, a present by NASA. The White House is voicing concerns about China's new cyber law. You know, you can talk to the Chinese, but they're just basically going to hold up two middle fingers and do what they want. You know, China's new cybersecurity law, it was brought up. And U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice met with the Chinese state counselor, discussed the importance of fully adhering to anti-hacking accord signed last year. But Rice also told the spokesperson that the law that China has adopted, you know, is you know, they think they're going to impact human rights, but China's basically said this is for us to prevent terrorism. So critics of the law says it threatens to shut foreign technology companies out of various sectors deemed critical. Let me be honest with you. You're doing business in China? Just remember, it's a communist state. Your stuff can be seized at any time. It could become just like Cuba. American companies own stuff down in Cuba, and when you know, when the revolution happened down there, you know, American companies were just basically shut out. You know, they lost their properties. They were taken over. And that can happen in China, too. But the chance of that happens is probably a little bit slimmer. But that's if it gets rough, that could be the scenario. Samsung may permanently disable Galaxy Note 7 phones. So just be aware here, that they may be planning to permanently disable them. According to an image obtained by The Verge, an alert went out at least on one Note 7 owner. It said that as of December 15th, Samsung will modify the software to prevent the Galaxy Note 7 from charging. The phone will no longer work. So if you're still holding a Samsung Note 7, it's time to get it replaced. It's time to turn it in and get your money. I know one guy still got one. He refuses to turn his in. He loves it so much. He says, mine hasn't burned up yet. I would not have one of these in my house. I got enough batteries as it is. One potential one that will, you know, cause my house to burn down. That, you know, they try explaining that to the insurance company. Oh yeah, I had a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 and it caught on fire and burnt the house down. You know, they would just probably say, well, I guess you don't want your insurance policy to pay off. All right, there's a little bit of news on the Tesla Model 3 and some new pictures. One specifically is about the dashboard. There isn't one. Everyone has got concerns here. But the pictures that were taken is basically it just shows an offset screen. That's it. I guess Tesla's thinking that a self-driving vehicle doesn't need a screen. But this has got some people perplexed. I don't want to have to look over and see how fast I'm going because I'm not going to let the car drive itself all the time. So a little more talk about what's going on with the Model 3 there. My wife is all giddy. She's been having a great time with her Leaf. And one thing that I told her today that Apple Maps have just been updated so that it will track EV charging stations. She says, "Well, don't you forget." She says, "When we bought this car, we bought the, well, basically the package that came with the car has a map system that shows all the EV stations." And I'm like, "Well," I said, "you've got at least another cross reference now. You don't have to always use the car. You can see if there's, I bet you the Apple Maps will show up quicker than the ones in the Leaf." But so far, and see what my son is pretty happy about too is he doesn't have to take the bus down to his job because he found a charging station close to his job. So he plugs the car in for it, goes to work, and then brings the car home fully charged for free. She's a happy camper. I haven't had to use any of my excess solar energy yet. Moore's Law lives on with a speedy 7-nanometer mobile chip coming in 2018. So mobile chips keep getting faster and thinner and more power efficient. It's thanks to the quick advances in chip manufacturing, which help churn out smaller chips packed with new features. So the next round of premium smartphones early next year could feature chips like the Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 using 10 nanometer. But in about 2 years, we could be down to 7. I don't think we need the phones to go any smaller. You know, I think these phones are small enough, but Moore's Law is still in place, still rocking for mobile devices. Ex-presidential candidate Hillary Clinton says lives are at risk because of fake news. Come on. They were helped generating a lot of it before, and so was the Trump campaign. Come on. Give me a break. You know, you're gonna cry now? A little late. You know, both sides were guilty of it. AT&T customers, you're going to get an unexpected refund on your bill. According to the FTC, AT&T has added a $9.99 month charge to the bills of many consumers. So many of you are going to get some refunds. So those refunds aren't small. As the FTC says, the average amount is $31. The refunds come from a 2014 settlement. So keep an eye on your AT&T bills for those of you that have AT&T as your mobile provider. Also, the government is actually looking at allowing airline customers, people that are flying, to make in-flight phone calls. That is only, though, through Wi-Fi, basically through the aircraft. Flight attendants are not going to be happy about that. I'm not going to be happy about that if some dude is talking for someone on the phone for 2 hours next to me. So I'm just like, no. No phone calls in the plane. Some of you may want this. I do not. There's a 60-day comment period, and the proposal leaves the door open for the possibility that federal officials could still impose an outright ban. So if you want to talk on the phone, you can make a comment. For me, it's going to be no, thank you. I don't want phone calls in the air. I just don't want to have to do that because I don't want to be bothered. My phone rings off the hook as it is now. Also, people are getting all upset about the president-elect's name still being on as an executive producer of Celebrity Apprentice. It's just his name. He's getting a check. You know, it's like, so what? He's not doing anything. He's getting a check. Why are people so sensitive? You know, they've already kicked him to the curb at NBC, and it's not going to happen. He's not going to have a role, but he's going to get a check. You know, he already gave up his paycheck as being president, so. And people are just, it's all people, oh my God, his name's going to be on it. It's just like, come on. Really? Are we that? Transparency. Everything has to be transparency. Of course, everyone knows what it is. It's out there in the public. Well, the hammer has dropped. Spotify has basically said that they've dropped their bid to buy SoundCloud. SoundCloud now is a ticking time bomb. They have, sure, they're making some money, but they have burned. They have never had a profitable year. There's intensifying competition for streaming music customers. So there's a huge number of podcasters that are on SoundCloud. And if Spotify wasn't going to buy them, then who will? I think this bodes bad news. Of course, you know, I've said this a couple of times about SoundCloud maybe being on the ropes and they've come back to live another day. But, you know, they've had to restructure debt and a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, they've got a huge amount of money that they owe and not bringing that much in. And again, still not profitable. So if you're a podcaster, you're on SoundCloud, you know, you're on notice. Apparently in California, there's been a whole bunch of Apple stores that have been robbed. Basically, folks come in and two or three guys come in with hoodies and they clean up as many phones as they can get in about 15 seconds and they walk out. You know those phones are all like registered and then they're just going to get wiped and locked out. You know, what are they buying them to try to sell to people that are too stupid to know that they're stolen merchandise? It's just, it's not like those devices are going to be able to be used again. Because the first thing Apple's going to do is they're just going to lock them. They're going to, you know, they touch the internet, they're going to, boom, they're dead. So anyway, over November 25th through the 29th in Berkeley and in San Francisco, they had a number of robberies, probably the same group. A little news out of Facebook. Facebook board was terrified that Mark Zuckerberg would ditch the company for public office. So it looks like Zucky was thinking about running for something. Didn't say what he was thinking, but you know, maybe this guy's got eyes on a Senate seat or something like that. Maybe he'll go after Pelosi's job. Who knows? But there was some information in their SEC filing on it. So the young man has political aspirations. NBC breaking news, an app that produces breaking news, is going to shut down on January 20th. I didn't even know they had an app that did this. 20 people are going to be out of work. So this is gone. If you're using the NBC breaking news app, it's finished as of January 20th. If you live up in Canada and you're using Amazon AWS services, apparently Amazon's going to be building a server farm six up in Vancouver, I guess. Let's see, or where are they going to... Oh, they've launched it. Amazon claims that the region, if you're looking for someone to run your computing instance in the land of the free, then it has opened an option for the Americas with its first Canada cloud computing region. Amazon claims the region is the minimum 9 millisecond network latency to New York, to Toronto, New York, 14 microseconds to Ottawa, 60 microseconds to Vancouver. The region supports Amazon Elastic Cloud, EC2, and related services. Where's it at? Does it say? Doesn't say where it's at. So anyway, there is a zone now for those of you in Canada for AWS. Probably a little cheaper to run your servers there. As I said earlier, Apple Maps will now plot EV charging stations. Here's an interesting statistic that I found tonight. Did you know that heroin right now is killing more people than guns in America? For the first time ever, the deaths in America due to heroin overdoses outnumber gun homicides. And no, before you ask, the number of gun homicides hasn't been dropping. So, heroin killed in 2015, 12,989 people. Wow. Wow, that's an amazing number. That is really an amazing number. Wow. I'd have never thought it was that high. In Japan, the social services there are tagging elderly people. They're adding barcodes to their thumbnails and toenails. Apparently, in Japan, what's going on right now is like a huge, huge, huge issue. And we'll see what happens with immigration in Japan if it starts to open up. But 1 in 3 native Japanese citizens is over the age of 60. And in the Japanese outlet of Yomori, they say that as many as 3,000 elderly citizens have early symptoms of dementia. And last year, more than 12,000 people with dementia were reported missing. Most were found within days, but more than 450 were found to be dead. 150 were never found. So they're putting these barcodes on, in the QRC codes, on people's thumbs and fingers so people can easily be identified that have dementia. They are using some sort of tracking devices for some folks, people, but they oftentimes leave home without those devices attached. But Japan is in such a, is in a population crisis. The people are not getting married and having babies. And there's a multiple reasons for that. There's a huge, I mean, if you go to Japan, if you're looking for a wife, go to Japan. No sweat. Guys are just not dating, and there is a huge, huge, huge number of single women in Japan. And, you know, they're having the government's doing everything they can to try to get people to get married, but the population is just not keeping up. So Japan's population is going to continue to shrink, adding to probably more of their financial issues. But anyway, it's a huge elderly population, and because they had this big surge of births after the war. You know, World War II, there was a huge, you know, so many men died, and then after the war, there was just this, just like kind of here in the United States, this surge of lots of babies, and those folks are all now at that point where, you know, they're getting to their elderly years that were born post-World War II, so... and it's, you know, it's went the other way now. All right. Skip that one. Berlin's now worried about their elections. They say that their hackers have infiltrated German parliament computers in May of 2015. It took nearly a year before the country's intelligence agency concluded the attack was most likely the work of the Russians. I keep telling you, it's some kid in Jersey. But last week, when 900,000 Germans lost access to the internet and telephone service, it took a matter of hours before politicians began pointing fingers at Moscow. Berlin is now concerned that Germany will become the next focus of Moscow's campaign to destabilize Western democracies. Everyone's blaming the Russians. Again, probably some kid in Jersey. The U.S. Congress is seeks small claims track for copyright claims. So instead of making folks that are being accused of copyright violations to go through the full-on court process of being sued, they're trying to use the small claims system to handle low-value infringement cases as well as bad faith Section 512 notices. So they're trying to get that pushed through. 512 is the DMCA, bogus DMCA notices. So they're trying to make this process a little easier for people to fight and not as expensive, where you have to go out and hire a lawyer. Malware is infecting computers by hiding in browser ad GIFs. So there's a new exploit out there called the Steganos Exploit Kit. It went undetected for 2 years. And unless you're still a user of Internet Explorer, and again, please don't use that web browser. The malware was largely impacting machines that were using that. And it starts with JavaScript infected ads. So link will be up in the show notes that, but if you are using Internet Explorer and you like to look at a lot of GIFs, your machine may be compromised. NASA is also considering a shorter first crewed SLS Orion mission. The first crewed flight of NASA's Orion spacecraft may fly a shorter mission than previously considered, with only a loop around the moon rather than an extended stay there. So we'll see what the current administration comes up with. I'm sure those plans may get changed. Also, the Japanese will launch a cargo ship to space station tomorrow. It's going to happen at, let me look at this because it's already Friday in Japan. It's scheduled to launch Friday at 8:26 a.m. Eastern, so it's going to be soon. It's right now, well, it's only 1:42 a.m., so many of you will miss this, but it's going to launch at 8:26 a.m. Eastern. I wish I could be up. I don't want to stay up that late, though. That means staying up to, like, so what time will that go? 3, my time will be 3:30 in the morning. No, I'm going to have to watch it on replay. But if you're up at 8:26 a.m., there will be a launch. Just go to space.com. You'll be able to find the link to it. There's also been a lot of decisions being made on what happens if Earth receives a SETI message. They're trying to figure out what to do. So there's a group right now that's working on a response package and trying to make a, you know, globally come up with a plan. What is it? You know, why all of a sudden are we worried about responding to ET? I think once we get the message, we have a few days to respond, don't you? All right, last few articles tonight because I'm going long here. You've heard about Google's trusted contacts? This is a simple way for families to have some peace of mind if you want to know where your kids are at. So this is pretty cool. You can, and I basically got my kids to volunteer to do this, where you basically make a person a trusted family member and you can find out where their phone is. So it gives you a location. So it allows family and friends to find you in an emergency. If the loved ones are worried about you, they can ask for your location. If you're not able to respond after 5 minutes, your latest location is automatically shared. So there's, you know, a variety of ways you can do this. You can respond. You can set up people. This is good for Android users. And I don't know if it was at work on iOS devices too. Don't know. Maybe. But maybe strictly Android here. I think this is smart. I've had a few times where, you know, you dads get this intuition, like, I haven't heard from my daughter. You text them and they're like, they don't respond. And, you know, you're like, text them 5 minutes later, where are you at? And can you check in? And, you know, all the time they've been sleeping and you're freaking out for nothing. So I think this is a trusted contacts is smart and a good way for families and dads and moms to have a peace of mind on their kids. Yes, we're not helicopter parents, but, you know, my kids are still relatively young. I'm not saying they're immature, but still like to, you know, get a ping on them once in a while. Not to spy, but just to make sure that they're okay. But, you know, sometimes that might, you might get information back that you really don't want, too. So you have to be careful what you wish for. Any of you thought about going to work for Amazon? I'm not talking about going to work for their warehouse. I know that we've got one of our listeners that works for Amazon, does warehouse duties. But if you're looking to get like a programming job or something like that, I've got some a link in the show notes about their interview process and their remote testing and some of the stuff you have to go through. So that's pretty cool. Have that up in the show notes for you. Also, YouTube has announced their top 10 videos of 2016. I think the best one is the $21,000 first class airplane seat or the Grace VanderWaals 12-year-old ukulele player who got the golden buzzer of America's Got Talent. That's a pretty good one. So anyway, I have those linked up in the show notes for those of you that like to watch a little YouTube now and then. How many of you have YouTube Red? I'm getting to experience it here because my son turned it on for a three-month free trial, which we talked about on a previous show. So not that impressed thus far. Also, Windows 10, and I don't know why this is news. Windows 10 is basically Microsoft is bringing desktop apps to mobile. Is that, why is that a, that's just a thing that's going on? But apparently it's making more news now. People are talking about it more. It's been going on for a while. I don't know why that's important. Also, do you travel a lot like I do? You have problems with Wi-Fi in your hotel room? Well, there's a cool little TP-Link wireless Wi-Fi mini router with range extender, access point, client, and bridge modes, but basically allows you to essentially connect to the hotel Wi-Fi through the mini router, and then you connect to your own router, and it adds a little bit of firewall capability and other stuff there. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. It's $30 on Amazon. Can't beat it. So a decent price. All right, I want to get into, I got an email that came in that I want to read. And it's a pretty good one, and I want to spend just a few minutes talking about it. And we have an Ohana member that's not happy with me. And let's see here. I got this from Dino. He says, "Hey, Todd, very disappointed to hear your jump to the iPhone 7. I believe you made quite a rant about it having no headphone jacks, as many people did. Yes, I did. But this, my friend, is exactly why Apple is a notorious, arrogant company that does whatever it wants, however it wants. But more importantly, it's why Apple has become a boring, no longer innovative, stagnant brand that plays it safe. It also can be argued the quality is degrading, as the problem with iPhones is more rampant than ever before. Fires with iPhones, China, touch disease, battery life on phones. Yet Apple customers repeatedly remind Apple they don't have to do too much. In fact, going backwards is acceptable, as is the case with dongles now being necessary for setups. Wireless is the future, but right now it's premature. Battery tech is not there yet. Wireless audio is not there yet. At least keep the headphone jack, and wireless tech should prevail naturally, as do all technology. In the end, it's all profit for Apple, and consumers are left with dongles, overpriced headphones that need to recharge twice a day, and yet another $800 iPhone bill for a 25-speed increase. Real-world speed, as you pointed out. The leverage that consumers keep giving Apple is affecting the whole industry. The iPhone certainly has a massive markup and could cost much less. This is a trickle-down effect with other brands, which ultimately affects all consumers. Brands try to imitate Apple so they, too, can try and gain large profits. All in all, the Galaxy S8 may not have a headphone jack. Samsung can't seem to grasp the concept that much of their success is due to the fact they are not Apple. Fortunately, Android displays their many choices. Anyway, that's my rant. As always, enjoy the show, Dino. Hey, you know, be honest with you, that new Android phone that Google made, it's pretty doggone nice. A bunch of my team members have it. They're happy with it. It's kind of like an ecosystem. It's kind of like flying the airlines. You know, I've been flying United. I'm over 1 million miles now. It's one of those deals where you're kind of like vested, and I'm not saying that I'm completely vested in iPhone, but I'll be honest with you. I use a lot of Android phones, and I don't have the same experience. And again, I'm not a power user when it comes to my mobile phone. You know, I need a good email. I need to be able to do Facebook. I need to be able to do LinkedIn. I need to be able to, you know, there's just like, you know, 10 things I do on my phone. I don't use it to read. I don't use it for playing movies. You know, I use it for phone in about 10 or 15 apps on a regular basis. Doing it on the Android to me has always been clunky. It'll do it, do the same thing, same functions. One thing that I don't like about the Android, and I've tried many keyboards, is the keyboard to me on Android. And I'm using my wife's, she's got an Android, using her phone. It's just not the same for me. So, I think, you know, I'm always willing to try something new, but, you know, I've been using iPhone so long, it's hard to make the switch. You know, you consider it, you play with the other phones. You know, I get plenty of phones in here to try. And there's been very few that have actually impressed me as much as the iPhone just continues. And the thing is, for me, the migration process is simple. I'm sure it's the same with Android. But as much as I complain about, you know, having lost the headphone jack, you know, so far it's working out. It's not perfect. But there's a Kickstarter coming that is going to give me a battery pack, give me my jack back. I'll still be able to charge it. Yeah, it's initial $99. That's the price I'm paying to stay Android for sure. So, but hey, I appreciate your putting me to task here. These are the kind of emails I like, and let us talk openly about these choices. And, you know, Android's a winner globally when it comes to, because they can make them very inexpensive, and people in third world can afford to buy these phones and not, you know, they can't afford an iPhone. And it's in often cases, maybe, you know, it's only the elite in some of those countries can afford an iPhone just because of the pure cost. So I'm glad Android is around and there's options. All right. We're again about 10 minutes long on the show tonight, so I'm gonna get out of here, but everyone, thanks for being here. Be back with you Monday. Regular scheduled time, regular Bat Channel. We'll be on live on Facebook. We'll be live on YouTube. We'll be live on live stream. And, of course, those of you that are listening later, you've not been live. You've been listening via the podcast. Again, appreciate your support of the sponsor here. And definitely need your full attention this month and helping us make goal. So definitely, if you're thinking about picking up a hosting account or something to that effect, or been on the edge, this is the month to make the push. And we use one of my codes. So geeknewscentral.com/GoDay. And in no ways are we in trouble, but numbers are probably going to be down this month, I would imagine. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's it, folks. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And thank you for your support. And I know we've got some extra donations in via insiders as well. That's always appreciated. The CES coverage is still going to be a big bill, even if it's just me and maybe one other person. And you know, we're stuck in probably looking $3,000-$5,000 and not even post-production cost. So if you're thinking about becoming an insider, this is a great month to get on board or do a one-time donation to the show. I know no one has money because we're all spending stuff on Christmas, and me included. So, and wait for the card bills to come in. Ouch. But thank you so much for being here, everyone. Take care. Geeknews@gmail.com for your comments and show everything. Take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Aloha.